Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it is the 28th of January, 2013. So we've got several questions today. Let's move on to those questions. I am currently participating in one of the EMSO groups and have also been following your series of articles about changing our habits. I found the articles quite insightful and thought-provoking and would like some more advice about putting some of it into action. In the example you gave, Sally had identified the time of day her husband coming home from work, which was setting off her questioning, as well as Jan, who would pick up her phone to text once she got in her car in the morning. With that foresight, both could prepare a plan to put into place to shortcut or short-circuit old habits and be ready at the expected time or place, etc. That you also mentioned that sometimes our habits are triggered by how we might be feeling or the mood we happen to be in. For example, eating sweets and junk when we're feeling down or reacting badly when we're angry, and those types of things can pretty much happen at any given time or place. So my question is, how does one prepare for something like this when they usually can't see it coming, unlike Sally and Jan, and often end up recognizing what's going on a little too late when they've already said a few things they might regret and eaten through four bars of nutty chocolate? By the way, I do love nutty chocolate. One of the things that's still important, and if you'll remember in the articles, I talked about the need for investigation. I would actually chart every time that happens and write down what are the situations, again, what, when, where, why, but if you can identify what's the exact emotion, what preceded that emotion, you may begin to find commonalities. Could be that you're tired, and or it could be any number of things. I think that identifying the cue is often one of the most difficult aspects, which is why identifying the cue is frequently one of the last things people do. Initially, they may even experiment with other rewards. What else would help them feel good in that situation? So you might try experimenting, coming up with alternative things to try when you feel that, where you've already got a plan to try something different, to see if you can determine if you get the same level of satisfaction. If it's not like a time of day or something nearly as apparent as that, you may find that I've been feeling a certain way. Typically, if you think about what was I feeling before I blew up or what was I feeling before I started eating, if you can identify that feeling, then potentially, or even the feeling or the thoughts before that, you'll be able to at least try experimenting like calling a friend instead of eating the candy bars the next time you get an urge. Potentially immediately calling time out when you feel like saying something and just say, I'm going to count, and going and reading something to distract you. Or I'm not sure what all would work in your situation, but I would begin, because you're on the right track, begin by experimenting with other things, not just thinking about what might work. Actually try doing some other things. When it's time to eat your chocolate bars, you know where your chocolate bars are. Put a note there and say, instead of eating the chocolate bars today, I need to go. Remember, you identify what you're feeling at that moment. Then you go try that other, and write down three words. Go write that other, or try that other routine. Come back, and then say how you're feeling. Has the urge gone down? Is the urge the same? Has it gone up? I think... Start by first trying to find other routines, and then see if you can't narrow the cue down by thinking about even one step earlier what was triggering that. And hopefully that'll give you some direction and help out with that. This is a great question, and if that's not clear, ask another one next week, and I will try again. Second question. How can I recognize if it's safe to continue? It seems at times my wife wants the marriage, but she gets upset if I even question what her response is going to be if I follow her request. For example, she asked me to remind her to shut things down and study, and to remind her not to eat unhealthy snacks, And in the past, when I have, she became angry and yelled at me for nagging her. If I remind her of that and ask if she'll promise not to get upset, she says I'm bringing up the past and should get over it. She was the unfaithful one, and she's made promises that she may never be affectionate with me or give me love and intimacy ever again. Is there an action plan that can show her that how she treats me in this respect makes it impossible to trust her and makes me really want to just run for cover? She does not seem to realize that she's pushing me away and making it impossible to ever feel safe with her. You know, one of the things that I would start with is first considering what it must be like to be you or be her having to live with you. I mean, if there is there anything about you that makes and how you ask things or point things out that maybe trigger a defensive reaction? Typically in marriage, when one party's getting defensive, it's because the other party has a tendency to do what's called fast startup. And I would wonder if maybe the way you approach her is triggering maybe some of her reactivity, I don't know. And not saying that, you know, you're the solution to her problem, not saying that in any way, but I do know that if you can sit there and at least start by really looking at yourself rather than her behavior and the things that are making it maybe difficult for her with you, that you'll feel less of an urge probably, or you won't feel as pushed away. And maybe you'll begin to find some new ways of making pathways into her heart. The other thing you can do is I would ask her, not point out what she's done in the past, but say, if she asks you to remind her, say, how would you like me to do that? What would really work for you? And let her identify what the approach is. That may also be something that would be helpful. That's a great question, though, and thank you very much for submitting that one. Okay, next question. I've listened to the call with the sex therapist and thought it was really great information and point of view, healthy and positive. My husband listened to it separately from me last night, then we proceeded to discuss to some degree and ended up in tears. And I ended up in tears. He had a type 2 affair, so emotional and sexual. FYI, he is doing things now to make me feel safer and is remorseful. He's in the hope for healing class. I feel inadequate in sex now as the hurt spouse. I need to understand more about what goes on in the male betrayer's mind during sex with me. Does he want me to look like her, act like her? Am I a letdown, etc.? Is he comparing? How do I get over feeling inadequate and pathetic in my own mind? I don't want any visual details of what they did because it'll stick in my mind for sure. Of course, he says things that say I have nothing to worry about, but he's lied before, so how do I know? I don't know what to think. I need to compete with her and be like her, so how do I just be me? Well, I don't want to think I have to compete with her or be like her. Well, you know, first off, honestly, ma'am, the person that's comparing you against his affair partner is you. It's probably not him. The last thing he wants to think about when he's with you is her. But your problem is you keep thinking about her, thinking he prefers her over you, when in reality, you're the one he's chosen. And I do know what you're describing is a very, very common problem. And I hope that the two of you, let's see, what'd you say you're in? He's in hope for healing. I'm trying to think what we can get to help you out here a little bit. Some of Nancy's suggestions in that interview, the gift of sex, and Restoring the pleasure. Restoring the pleasure would be a great program for you and your husband, given what you're describing to me, because it would allow you and your husband something, the ability to create something that would be exclusively you, which is basically what you need and want at this point. So I'd suggest get that book and go through it, the two of you. But he's not thinking of her when he's with you. He's really working hard not to, and you don't need to be thinking of her. He chose you. And in the long run, it's about you learning to be who God made you to be. So I hope by doing that program, the two of you can create something fresh and new for you. So final question for the day. My husband is in sales. For the last 10 years, he's had only one client. He called her Smelly Cat because she wore lots of loud perfume. She lives in San Antonio, and we live in the DFW area. He never said anything good about her. She is very unattractive, missing teeth, overweight. It's been 19 months since I found out he had been sleeping with her for business. I was completely blindsided. Never saw that coming. When he was with her, he was where he was supposed to be. She is our only source of income. She tried to move her business somewhere else, and I basically let her know that it would be the end of her career. My husband kept extremely damaging evidence, including pictures she sent with him. When he tried to break it off, she took the business away. When he had sex with her, she gave him business. All of this was documented with email and text. Because of the amount of business she gave him, it will take a very long time to replace her business. He has not seen her in 19 months. He's actually had very little contact with her. His CSR handle almost everything. Her account is the second largest account in his company. So many people will be out of jobs if the business is moved elsewhere. It's beginning to be very noticeable that he's not working the account. We've been working on our marriage, seeing an excellent counselor, and enrolled in EMSO online, but it doesn't seem as though we've gotten as far as we should. His boss is putting pressure on him to get back into the account. We have told no one about the affair. He will have to make trips to San Antonio this month. He says he'll never be alone with her again. I have two questions. Does it take longer to recover from a long-term affair than a short-term affair? I feel responsible for our lack of progress. I was so unaware for 10 years, and even though I know the bad behavior stopped, I'm constantly afraid I'm going to find out something else. My second question is, how can this arrangement possibly work? Although he has picked up a couple of new customers, it takes a long, long time to get them up and running, usually a year just to get software built. They're getting close to the end of the project they were working on before D-Day. He's going to have to re-engage with her soon, and I'm not sure I can handle it. I'm afraid that I'll lose my mind. There are so many people involved in this that are completely in the dark, like I was. This could possibly take some very small businesses down. Any advice would be wonderful. I feel completely trapped. Let's see. Let me find your first question here real quick. The first one was, does it take longer to recover from a long-term affair than a short-term affair? And I don't know that it's... To some extent, it depends a little bit on your personality type and how cooperative someone has been, how quickly he gave information. For anybody in an affair where there's a betrayal, it doesn't make any difference if it's pornography, if it's long-term, if it's short-term, if it's an affair that happened 20 years ago. It's as bad as it gets at that point. The person who has a long-term affair, their challenge comes from having a lot of history they have to work through, and that additional history does make it more difficult. So I could say at one level, yes, the long-term affair is more difficult only because you've got more issues and dots to connect over time. And I think your own confidence is really shattered if you feel like you were duped for 10 years. That makes it very, very difficult. Your second question is, how can this arrangement possibly work? Although, I'll just say you know, at one level, your marriage is going to be more important than the job. People lose jobs, businesses collapse. I mean, I don't want that to happen by any means. You know, the thing that's making it difficult is you've limited your options, for instance, by not telling the company. I mean, if he tells his boss what happened, maybe his boss knows, but if he tells his boss what happened, ultimately, what's going to happen? They probably don't want to fire him. They might potentially move him off the account. I do understand it could mean a lifestyle change, but, you know, think about what's the worst that could happen. It feels to me like you're taking responsibility for a lot of things that you don't control, which is really overwhelming. And I would sit there and say, for me, I mean, I would handle it by praying and say, God, what would you suggest we do? I don't know what the next steps need to be. And often just kind of looking at next steps and praying about it, that can be something that may give you that sense of direction that would be really helpful. I know it's a difficult situation. I'm sorry to hear that you're trapped in this. But a lot of times letting go of trying to manage it, letting go of control is the way to gain control. And maybe just talking with his boss and potentially having somebody joint with him in this situation. And yes, I've heard of very difficult situations like this working, to answer your question directly. But don't take responsibility for that which isn't yours. I mean, sometimes there's just consequences to the things we do. But he still needs to do the next right thing. The last thing he wants to do is continue operating out of fear, which ultimately controlled him and brought him to this place in the first place. He's, you know, you have to have the courage. You've got to want to live and love and, you know, do the right thing so badly you don't care what the consequences are. It's just the next right thing. So I hope that will give you a little bit of direction. And with that, that's all of our questions today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And please keep posting those questions. It makes it beneficial for everyone. I'll talk to you next week. To healing.